Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our study of Galatians, I was giving an outline for chapter 6. Be ready to follow today with pencil and paper. Now, the third division of the chapter is the application against walking in false doctrine. When you're walking in false doctrine, you're walking in the flesh. So this is application against walking in false doctrine, verses 11 through 16. And then the last division is application and teaching completed, verses 17 and 18. And it is interesting when you see how this book ends. And so I hope that's a help to you in your outlining and your study of this great book. Now, although an outward application is first, don't forget that you cannot walk as you ought to walk on the outward if you do not have it on the inward. We remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23. And he said, that is, Jesus said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. You see, the inward affects outward actions. For an example, you're dwelling on some things that you should not have been dwelling on in your mind. Maybe somebody wronged you. And what they did was definitely wrong. Maybe they haven't apologized for it. Maybe they opposed you wrongly. But whatever it is, here it is, not just weeks later, months later, maybe years later. And you still find yourself getting angry about it, even though you may not say anything to the people. It still keeps coming up, and your spirit is troubled. And because you're entertaining it in those thoughts, in your heart and mind, it affects your demeanor, and it affects your power with God and man. And so, again, the inward has to be right for the outward to be manifested in a way that best pleases God. So as we begin here, we look first then at application outward, walking in the Spirit, verses 1 through 5. Now we see here in verse 1 as we read it, it's addressed to brethren, and not the world in general. Notice he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, it's specific. Brethren, but it's specific, brethren, ye which are spiritual. So just not any brethren, any saved, it's the spiritual. Now, we know by God's word that one who is newly saved is not to be a pastor. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6 says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And my friend, pride has been the downfall of many young preachers and some old preachers as well. It bothers me when there's a crusade, an evangelistic crusade on television, and they tell of an athlete, a movie star, some musician that has just been saved. And he stands there and he testifies and sings or does something else. And people saying, oh, isn't this wonderful? But then later you hear of the same person, drunk, drugs, immorality. Or they're interviewed on TV and you hear some cussing out of their mouth. You see, Satan made sure that particular person was heard in their testimony in order to try to sell to the rest of the world a repentless salvation that's not even worth the paper it's written on, you see, because this salvation is not a true repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. And so, as that is the effect of an unrepentant salvation, an unrepentant sinner, something that just makes salvation a, not just a free thing, but a cheap thing. Salvation is free, but my friend, it's not cheap. And this kind of thing also makes a mockery of God and His Word and the righteousness and true holiness that He provides and that He has commanded His people to live. Now, the Great Commission in Matthew is Jesus teaching us to teach them first how to live, how to be right, teaching them to obey all things whatsoever He has commanded. Now, see, a person can be saved, but they're not ready for the platform, although they have some speaking and musical skills. They may not be ready for the platform. See, being a celebrity does not make it all right. Now, keep it in mind. He said, ye which are spiritual. Now, are those who walk in the Spirit and it's evident in their life, are those the one you think that he's talking about? Of course. Now, do you remember in Acts chapter 6, the church is told to look you out, seven men who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom and honest report. Now, the people had to see an outward appearance which showed, well, boy, the Spirit of God is upon that person. Oh, that person is wise in their dealings with their fellow man and in the things of the Lord. They're honest. And so they needed to have that kind of report in order just to have this office. And so the people had to know their lives. And their lives were testimonies of those very things. And when they picked those people out, then they brought them to the pastors who had the final authority in this situation in which they would then appoint them to the office. They said in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, whom we may appoint. You see, even though they were elected deacons by the group, and they brought them to the pastors who were the apostles at that time in Acts chapter 6, they were the ones that actually approved them and anointed them and laid the hands upon them. And so when you look at it, the deacons were not a board of authority, but rather they were accountable to the pastor, but they had authority from the pastor under the direction of our Lord and Savior to go out and serve the tables. In other words, to set things up, make things go decently and in order, and attend to the business so that these pastors could give themselves to the study of God's Word. And if you remember back then, it was for the neglect of the widows that people were stirred up, and they had these first deacons. Now, isn't it interesting when you look through the book of Acts and you look through the life of Jesus Christ on earth, that when people were sick, they were bringing them to Jesus. They were bringing them to Peter and to Paul and all that. These men did not have a visitation ministry in which they went to hospitals and they went to people's homes and to the shut-ins and visited them at their place and did these things. But instead, those were brought to them. In James chapter 1, we're told that pure and undefiled religion for God and the fathers is to visit the fatherless and of course, then the widow and her affliction and so forth, that they were to do this. And what I'm saying to you is that many of you feel like that your pastor is your hired gun, so to speak, the one who's supposed to go and visit all the shut-ins and all the hospitals and all everything else. But actually, deacons were appointed to do this job so that the pastors could give themselves to the study of God's Word, to prayer, and the proclamation of the Word through personal witness, as well as to preaching to a group, whether it was a local church, whether it was a open-air meeting, or what have you. And so that is what God had decided. And yet these deacons, they reported back, you know, Mrs. Isaiah is sick, Mr. Jonah needs prayer, and we've prayed for him. We've anointed him with oil. Mr. Josephus needs this. And so as they would go back and forth, they would ask the pastor about things. Could they do this? Could they do that? And they had ideas, and the pastor would usually let them run with their ideas. And so that's how that was set up to begin with. Now, I believe in sharing prayer requests, but I'm also careful with whom I share them, because I don't want to become the fodder for gossip down the road. You know, somebody can say something about maybe a wife being unfaithful, maybe a husband being unfaithful, and they go and they tell a friend, and, you know, say, we're praying about this. I want to keep my family together, and they go on. And so they come to them in confidence, but they go to others to talk about, you know what that woman's doing? You know what that guy's doing? And they covered all by saying, let's pray for them now. Let's make sure we pray for them. But really, 9% of it was gossip about what they're doing and going into details far beyond what was ever told them. And there was no need to, because this individual went to them as a friend to pray with them, not to spread it.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation for the Bible.